Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. I can't believe this day is here. I feel so unprepared. Oh my gosh, I have the wrong shoes. I don't even have the right shoes. Oh, where do I go? I don't know where to go. I didn't really rehearse for this.
Is this even
in the right place? This, what is this called? And my dress doesn't fit. I don't know what happened. I just wasn't prepared. I just wasn't prepared at all for today. And it's here, but I feel so unprepared. And my dress doesn't even fit. And I don't know. I just feel unprepared. So now I got to do a costume change. Hold on. So I think that probably describes the direction that I'm going. Hold on. Costume change, dress change. My wedding dress. I knew that. Hold on. Does that look all right? Because we're live this morning on Facebook, too. So, good morning, Facebook world. This is the first time I ever went live with The Well, but I feel like it was such an important message this morning that it's an urgent message from the Holy Spirit. So, that's what we're going to do today. I knew my dress wouldn't fit because I have put on quite a bit of weight. So I knew that was going to work out well for me, as far as the unprepared bride. So you got a good visual of what it would be like to be an unprepared bride. Carly was just a bride, but you were pretty prepared for only having a couple, whatever, little bit of time to put that all together. But you were very prepared, weren't you? But the whole point of this message today is because I don't want you to be unprepared, and I don't want to be unprepared. So I want to put this in the forefront of your mind today. Something that's in the forefront of people's minds or attention is something that they think about a lot because it's important to them. So they think about it a lot. This message that I have today is so important for the body of Christ to hear. A few weeks ago, I was just casually at work, and I knew I had The Well coming up in a couple weeks. I knew that my week before The Well was going to be super busy. We had the barn in Lapeer where Pastor preached Saturday night. I left for a work conference Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I knew that I would not have time to prepare. So I asked the Holy Spirit, just casually walk into the bathroom at work one day, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to preach about at The Well? Very clearly, this doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes I have to dig. Sometimes I have to spend time in the presence of the Lord to figure out the message. No, not this one. He said very clearly, abide to become his bride. And I was like, whoa, that is powerful. So I kept those words at the forefront of my mind for the past couple weeks. And every time I would hear something in my spirit, I would just jot it down. I would hear something that he had for today, and I just write it down. So I started preparing like 2 weeks ago for this message just because I knew I had a busy couple of weeks. I knew I wasn't going to have the time to really press in. So I kept it at the forefront of my mind, and I knew what I was preparing for. The same is true for preparing to be the bride of Christ. We're so busy. We're so busy with life, kids, grandkids, jobs, ministry. And if we're not busy in life, if we're in a season that we're not busy in life, we're busy in our minds, aren't we, ladies? So always, and for women, there's always something to do, isn't there? My mom and I talk about that, how there is always something to do around the house. There's just, for us women, there's always something to do. So we are so busy. But regardless of all of that, we always have to be ready and prepared to be the bride of Christ. No procrastinating. The time is now to prepare. The time is now to prepare. So I want to start off by saying, these are some exciting times we live in, okay? The fact that God chose us to live in the end times, to be part of his end time church, to be his end time army, it should make you feel so special. Not that the rest weren't, but man, we got a job to do. I mean, we're here and we're alive and active and we are just, we have all we need to advance the kingdom of God on this earth. So it's exciting. I remember how excited I was to marry James. I was excited. We got engaged in Huntington Beach, California, and then we got married 3 months later. So we were preparing, and he was going to move into my house, so we redid the whole house. We got new carpet, new furniture, because we wanted to make it ours. We wanted to make it new. So we had that going on, and we had all the details of the wedding going on, and it was such an exciting time to prepare for that wedding. But beyond all the details of the actual wedding itself, I was so excited to be married to him, to my best friend, to do life with him, to have sex with him, to, did I say that on Facebook Live? I don't care, he's my husband, right? So I was excited to, just all of it was just so exciting, but I was more excited for the marriage part of it. And so my point is, we're living in an exciting time because the time is drawing nearer where God is, where Jesus is returning. So, and how much more exciting it is to prepare to be the bride of Christ. Think about that. Do you think about this often? Because I don't. So we're actually preparing to be Jesus Christ's bride. That's a powerful, powerful thought. So it's so exciting to think about. So I want to start off by talking about the word abide. So abide, the definition is remain, stay, continue. But the definition I love the most is dwell. To be fully present in a place with a person. Fully present. Everybody say fully present. That's what abiding is. That it's not when you, like an example I could give is, you know, when you're out to dinner with somebody, if they're on their phone the entire time, you know, you're not dwelling in their presence. So the same is different with God. If we're in God's presence, we need to be all in God's presence, right? We need to be dwelling in his presence, all in, fully present with him. Oh, shoot. I had all my scriptures printed out for all of you, and I forgot to hand them out. James, where are they at? Sorry. I guess we could just pass them around, because I did put in the work to do that. Sorry, Facebook. How you doing today? But I do, because I don't use the screens at all for my messages at the well, I wanted you guys to have the scriptures that you could refer to. So, if we could just pass them around. But I will start. Okay, so John 15, 4 through 8. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Powerful. So to narrow it down here, Jesus is saying we have to abide to survive. And so remember that song, I Will Survive. This morning when I was going through my message, I like put a little spin on it. I will abide to survive. So anyway, if you forget that little phrase, you can sing that little song, I will abide to survive. So we have to abide to survive. So even just in general, life in general, we need to abide in his presence minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, year by year. There's always something going on where we need to abide. We need to be dwelling in his presence. We should crave this intimacy with our Father. We should crave the intimacy with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said a little bit down the road in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. When we abide in him, there's fullness of joy. And as we know in Psalm 16:11, it says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. So when we abide, there's joy. The Holy Spirit gave me this. Union without communion is joyless Christianity. So union, if you got a union in a relationship, but you never have communion or fellowship, it's a joyless relationship. Same is true with God. Same is true with God. So union without communion equals joyless Christianity. Communion is sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings. So we should constantly be in union and communion with Jesus. So marriage is supposed to be a relationship that is so close and spiritually intimate, and not all of the body of Christ is going to press in to get that deep intimacy and that deep closeness to the bridegroom. Not everybody in the body of Christ is going to do this. And real quick, I felt led to do this. Thank you, Ashley, for my awesome water bottle. At this point, I also feel led to encourage those that don't feel close to their earthly husband. You have to focus on your maker. In Isaiah 54:5, it says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. So don't let negative characteristics of your earthly husband, or, you know, if they're dry spiritually, or they're not where you're at spiritually, or, you know, they're worldly, or whatever it is that they are, don't let that affect you preparing to become the bride of Christ. Same is true with married people. Don't let that become your good marriage and your fun times become a distraction for also preparing to be the bride of Christ. Also, if you're single, make sure that Jesus is your husband. And we're all preparing to be the bride of Christ. So married, bad marriage, single, focus on preparing to be the bride. We are going to be the bride of Christ. Let's keep our focus there. Say, I'm going to be focused. All right. I just felt led to go there because I think no matter what situation we're in, good, bad, ugly, wonderful, whatever, all of it can be a distraction. All of it can take our focus off preparing to be the bride. So this is another, I like to rhyme, okay? I'm very punny and I like to rhyme. So without abiding, we won't be briding, okay? So I actually had to look up to make sure briding was a word, and it is. It is. So that had to be from the Holy Spirit. So briding is actually a word. It means to make bride a bride of. So without abiding, we won't be made his bride. And that is a true statement 100%. We have to be abiding, dwelling in his presence. Now this is, I said this before, but not all Christians will abide to become his bride. Not every Christian is going to qualify for the bride of Christ. All of you in here are, because we're going to be prepared, right? Right. So this is an interesting parallel between the first Adam and Jesus. So Adam, of Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, as my husband would say, right? And a lot of other preachers, not just Pastor James. Okay. Anyway, Adam, the first Adam, God only used a part of his body to create his bride, Eve. And Jesus, the second Adam, it's only going to be a portion of his body that creates his bride. Let me say it again. Adam, God only used the rib, one part of his body, to create his bride. Jesus, the second Adam, he is only going to use a part of his body to become his bride. How many of you want to be that part of the body that becomes his bride? Okay, it's going to take a little work on our part. We can't just sit back and enjoy the ride to become the bride, because now I'm rapping, okay, apparently. All right, so anyway, I have to bring a little humor into a very serious topic. So, and the Lord trusted me to do that. So, all right, I just thought that was a really neat parallel. And I didn't come up with that on my own. I actually read that somewhere, and I was like, wow, I never thought about that. So I cannot take credit for that. All right, so now I want to talk about the 10 virgins. The scripture is on your printout. So it's Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. Say no oil. With them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed and they all slumbered and slept, at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. That's how they would sound. I'm convinced. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord. Well, maybe they're not going to talk like that. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, when Jesus says, assuredly, he means it. He means, I assure you, there's no shadow of a doubt here. I do not know you. And so we do not want to be the foolish virgins. So number one, I want to bring up some points about it. Number one, they all had lamps. All the virgins had lamps. They all had the word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. All 10 virgins were looking forward to the coming of the bridegroom. They all had oil. Only the wise had an abundant supply of oil. Oil symbolizes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The bridegroom came in the midnight hour. That indicates the last days, the end times, and he was delayed in coming, just like he is now. He's waiting for people to get ready to prepare. All of the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They all had some degree of oil, but the oil of the foolish was running very low. Their lamps were going out. They probably weren't in the Word of God too much. They probably, you know, they weren't prepared. They weren't abiding. The 5 without oil were probably wearing the name Christian, probably going to church, but like Pastor says lately, they were just believers. They weren't disciples. And so we've been pushing that a lot lately because God wants us to be disciples. The 5 foolish were more concerned about the party the reception in heaven. And the wise virgins were longing to see the bridegroom. It's just like I explained earlier. I was excited for Pastor and I's wedding, but I was more excited for the marriage to him. And that's where we need to be with God, is we need to be more excited about that marriage to him than all the other details. And so, So they were longing to see the bridegroom. They wanted that union with communion. They had the union with communion. The five without the oil were hoping that their association with the true believers, the disciples, would bring them into the kingdom in the end. But Jesus says to them, I do not know you, because it's I've preached it for years. It's relationship over religion. That's been like a key point to my ministry and a lot of people's too, that have come out of religion and into relationship. But it is all about intimacy. It always has been. It always will be until the day he returns. The key in the story of the 10 virgins is readiness. A bride is not going to start planning her wedding the day of the wedding. As we saw, what a disaster that would be in the beginning of my message. We must be ready at all times for the bridegroom to return to his bride. There's so many Christians out there that wear the name of Christian. There's so many out there. And you know what's gonna reach them? When we live our lives set apart. When we live our lives set apart, I'll give you a quick example. We were at my work conference over the weekend, and there was a banquet the last night, and we don't drink, okay? But everybody at the conference, not everybody, but majority drink. Just the fact that Pastor and I sit at that table, never go up to the bar, and they knew we were pastors because we're not shy about it. I'm very open about Jesus, you know? My story, everybody will know that I'm a Christian. If you run into me, you're going to know who I serve. I'm not going to kick that water bottle. You will know who I serve. You will know that I love Jesus. There is no question. There will be no question of that. So people are hungry. Not everybody, but there are some. There was one guy there. He knew we were pastors, and he came up to Pastor at the end of the night. He goes, Pastor, I know you're a pastor. He's like, pray for me. Pray for me. Another lady who you can tell, I don't want to go into too much detail because I am live on Facebook, but she's hungry. Like, she's like, oh, you pastor? Oh, you know, and she had all these questions. And some people are hungry. So when we live set apart, we live separate from the world, that's what's going to draw them in. See, some of the church has it all wrong. They think, let's be like the world. Let's offer beer and Bible study, or, you know, let's make this, you know, worldly so they think we're like cool, you know? And that's not what they want. They're hungering for the truth. They're hungering for the truth. So be set apart. And it's only through that intimacy that we're going to know what God likes and dislikes. And, you know, there's all kinds of things. Some people still celebrate Halloween. Halloween's evil, you know? And, you know, there's certain things that you can only get a revelation of, though, if you're abiding. Because if you're not abiding, you can tell people all day long, these things are evil, this is not good, this is wrong. But unless they're searching the word and getting in that intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, they're not going to receive it, you know? So let's talk about the characteristics of the bride of Christ. Presented as a pure virgin, 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3, Paul says, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you, which is another word for engaged, you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste, which is pure, virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. This was an interesting verse to me. Paul is presenting himself as the father of the bride here. He's saying, I have betrothed you to one husband. It was just an interesting thought I had. I'm like, wow, Paul is kind of acting like he was the father of the bride, of us. And he's giving us to Jesus as pure. And Paul was always concerned, you know, that they were gonna not be pure. And so he was constantly trying to get them to be pure. And this just shows how important the fivefold ministries are too, that we're listening to the right teachers, you know, because we don't want to be listening to the wrong ones. That would not be good. So definitely, you know, have direction from the Holy Spirit on that. So presented as a pure virgin, we're talking about the characteristics of the bride of Christ. Sanctification. The bride is continually submitting herself to the Holy Spirit's ongoing process of sanctification. Sanctification and purification is up to us. Say, it's up to me. We have to submit to it by abiding. So in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, it says this: husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So one thing I want to point out, I had a revelation of this, and I don't know if, like, when you guys are preparing or studying or preparing a message, if, like, you see something in the Word and you're like, whoa, that's revelation to me. Whoa. And then it's such a deep revelation in my head. And then I tell Pastor and I'm like, yeah, I got this new revelation, right? And I say it and then I'm like, well, that didn't come out as powerful. But at the time it was like, whoa. So in this verse where it says Christ gave himself, so basically he died so we could become his bride. I've never thought about it. I know Jesus died for my sins. I know all the reasons Jesus did it, okay? But I never connected the dots that it was so we could be pure to become his bride. It was revelation to me. And even saying it, it feels a little more powerful right now saying it. But when I said it to him, it was just like, it just didn't hit as hard, you know, as I thought. So he died to make us his bride. And that's powerful to me. He made the sacrifice so that he might sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. Okay, I got to go into detail here. So lately, not that I've never read the word all every day, and it's none of that, but God has really been telling me, Marianne, get into my word. Now, when I was first born again, I did note cards. I did this. I did that to memorize the word. I was constantly in the word, constantly in the word. And when Pastor and I were here praying one night, I seen visions of my note cards again. And he's telling me, go back. Go back. You don't know the whole word of God, Marianne. And you certainly don't know it by heart. Go back. Go back to reading the word. Go back to making the word your priority of what to do. And so now I read the word and I watch the YouTube where it's reading the word, and the word is just, I'm getting the word all the time. At my job at work, praise the Lord, I have my own office. I have my own space. I can turn on that YouTube and I can hear the word, and I can see sparks in my office of angels because they come when the word is spoken. So the word. The bird is not the word. The word is the word. You have to read the word. Like, and not just read it, but meditate, study. Just our whole life needs to become this word. What if we don't have the word one day? What if it's gone? And what if we don't, what if they take our Bibles? We gotta know it. We gotta know it in our heart, not. Oh, I feel such an urgency about the word. So I got to preach that. That's why I even brought that pretty Bible. That was from our wedding. Okay, so meditating on the word, it sanctifies and purifies us. And that's another thing it does. It washes us. So think about a day when your hair's greasy, you're nasty. You feel like, ugh, like gross. You just are like, you know what I'm talking about. If you use every other day to wash your hair and your hair gets greasy, you know what I'm talking about, okay? You just feel nasty, okay? And then you get in the shower and the water just washes you. And you just, you come out and you feel like $1 million. You feel so good. That's what the word of God does. When we wash ourselves with the water of the word, like that verse talks about, that's how we feel. We feel refreshed. We feel recharged. We feel clean. All the garbage that comes out of us sometimes, we feel clean and whole and just, you get the point without me going on and on about the shower? Okay. Oh, all right. Still talking about the characteristics of... Oh, we're doing good on time. Okay. Characteristics of the bride. Holy, cleansed, a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle, without blemish, blameless. All of these characteristics of the bride of Christ come through abiding. One cool thing that I thought about when I was preparing the message is when you're preparing to be the bride of Christ, you can have intimacy first. Does that make sense? It's backwards. You know, everything is backwards, like from the world. So, but in the marriage with Christ, you can have intimacy first. So I don't know, that was one of those revelations to me. I was like, wow, that's cool to tell, like, young girls, like singles, you know, you need to develop the intimacy with Christ, you know? And so that, I don't know, that was good. Intimacy with Jesus prepares us to be his bride. The bride will be watchful and prayerful. On your list of scriptures, it says Luke 21, 34 through 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, which is just partying and drinking, and the cares of this life, and that day, which the D is capitalized, so that's the day, come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So we have to be prayerful and watchful. The bride of Christ will always be pressing in for perfection. Always. Completion. Perfection and completion. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:9, also we pray that you be made complete. So that was good. So all born-again Christians are engaged to Jesus. We're all engaged. Like Paul said, well, that's not where Paul said it, but we are, once we're born again, we are engaged to Jesus, but not all are going to make it to the altar to become the bride of Christ. So when we were up here praying one night, I'll just demonstrate what I saw when we were praying. So I guess I'll jump off over here. Okay, so we were praying, and I knew what the message was. And so I was walking down the aisle here, and I was like visualizing, you know, Jesus at the altar. And then I looked over and I saw that exit sign. And I was like, whoa. So that's where the ones that are going to go that don't know him. And so that whole thing, I was going to have you all get up and do it to like show how powerful it was, but not do the exit sign. You were all going to come to the altar, but it was just, I don't know. That's just what I saw, like when I walked down, and then it was like, you know, the ones that know him will come into the wedding banquet, but the ones that don't will, well, yeah. So that's why Pastor and I do what we do. We don't want to see anybody get to the altar and be turned away or think that they're going to be married to Christ and not be. So we want to take you higher. We want to get people healed and set free and delivered. We want to make disciples. That's what we want. We want to do that. We don't want you to be think you're going to get there and he says, you know, I don't know you. We want you to know him. So wherever you are in your walk with Christ today, we're going to new levels. It's a day to go higher, to draw closer to Jesus, and it's a day to allow him to purge all that's unholy in us. Today in the natural is actually a new season. It's autumn. It's a new season. So, and I didn't plan this. I just set a date. I didn't look that it was the first day of fall or autumn. I didn't look at any of this when I figured out the date of the well. It just was a Saturday that worked for me. But it's a new season in the natural. And I'm going to take that and declare that it's a new season in the spirit as well. And you know what they say when you watch the leaves change on the trees, how it's so beautiful, but it does represent death. And so when you're going and looking at the leaves, you know, think on that, reflect on that, on how beautiful it is to die to ourselves and live for Christ, because it is a beautiful thing. But yeah, it is a new season. So I'm declaring that today is a new season in the spirit realm. And when I first started writing notes for the message, these are the words I heard. It's a season of purification, preparation, prayer, purpose, and peace. And so purification is a lifestyle of fasting. This is something that I don't do enough of. I've fasted in the past, but I need to start a lifestyle of fasting again. And I do like to fast food. I don't mean fast food. I mean fast food. So it's so important that we enter into a season of purification right now. I really feel that in my spirit. And if you don't want to fast food, you know there's things that distract you from the presence of God. Anything that you could replace with prayer or replace with time with God is what you should fast, you know? And I like the fasting food because when you get hungry, it's like you know to pray. You know to use that time to get in the presence of God. So season of purification, anything that separates us from God and time with him. Season of preparation. Obviously, we want to be prepared to be the bride of Christ. So preparation equals separation from worldliness, distractions, toxic relationships, anything we need to separate ourselves from to prepare us to be that bride of Christ. So preparation. As we separate from the world and purify ourselves, then we're going to find our purpose. And through our purpose, we're going to find peace. And so there's a lot of P's. My goodness. Purification, preparation, praying, purpose, and peace. So last scripture is Revelation 19:7. And it just talks about the bride made herself ready. That's not the scripture, but I'm just paraphrasing there. So the whole purpose of today was to prepare you to be the bride of Christ. This topic is so extensive that I only could take a few things and go with it because if you look up the Jewish wedding parallel, you know, and I could have went into all that and I was like, no, so I brought the sheet that explains that and I'll put it in the back too. But today, let's commit together to live a lifestyle of purity, to live a lifestyle of purification and cleansing and to read the word and to prepare to be the bride of Christ. We need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. We need to cheer each other on. We need to help one another. We need to get in the presence of God. We need to be cheering each other on, encouraging one another, praying for one another. So tomorrow is the Day of Atonement in the Jewish holidays. Again, I didn't plan this either. Pastor and I don't celebrate the Jewish holidays, but we're not opposed to what they mean. They're very important, okay? And I actually would love to, but I don't know enough about all of it to, whatever. Anyway, It's also Yom Kippur. It's the same thing. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It's the reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. The Jewish community celebrates the holiday with a 24-hour fast from sundown to sundown. So sundown tomorrow to sundown Monday night. And I would love for anybody who would want to commit to fasting from sundown to sundown, just to have like a reflection day of holiness, like, and to bring that into the next whole year. Ashley, I know it's your birthday Monday. You can be exempt, you know, from that. But I just want to take us higher to prepare to be the bride of Christ. I want to hear messages on fasting. Like, I want to be strong in the Lord and prepared. I don't want to be that bride walking down the aisle unprepared. So I know for myself that I need to live a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. I need to cut that part out of my life because it bogs me down, and I just want to be pure. I really want to go into a new season. And so I want all of you to come into that season with me and just really keep in the forefront of our minds to prepare for being the bride of Christ. So I encourage you today to do that tomorrow, to do the sundown Sunday night to Monday at sundown, and just make it a day of fasting and prayer. You know, even wear white to like make you think more about becoming, preparing to be the bride of Christ. So the one last thing I want to do is if everybody could stand and just kind of come down the center aisle, like go around the back and just walk down the center aisle and then just come up here and then we'll pray. Yeah, so like all of you just go around and pretend like you're just focus on like up here that Jesus is standing here. Like you're actually walking down the aisle to become his bride, okay? And keep your focus on that. Keep your focus on that. Silas, do you think you could play that, maybe the wedding, that wedding processional would make it even more, you know, powerful. So yeah, just focus on really preparing to walk down the aisle to be the bride of Christ. That was, how'd that feel? Like, fun? Yeah. Like, that actually is going to happen. I mean, well, I don't know if that's how it's going to happen, but I mean, we're preparing to be his bride, so let's just keep that in the forefront of our mind. So, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you draw us into your presence like never before, God, that you just get us into your presence where we can abide to become your bride, Lord. Abide to become your bride, Lord. I just thank you, God, that these ladies here today, would be prepared for your coming. They would be prepared to be your bride, that not one of them would be left behind, that not one of them would get to you and you would say, I do not know you, Lord, but you would know each and every one of the women here today, Father God. I ask that you would increase in their lives, Lord. Increase the pureness, increase the holiness. Lord, make us your bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, Lord. Lord, whatever it takes, Lord God, we want it. We want to be your bride. We want to be your bride, Lord. So whatever it takes, Jesus, whatever it takes, Holy Spirit, I pray over all of these women today, Lord God, that you would just begin to move in their lives. Holy Spirit, that you would draw them into the Word of God, that the Word would become, they would just memorize the Word. They would know it in their heart, Lord, that it would go down deep into their heart, Lord, that I just bind all distractions from anything coming against them that would take them away from your presence, Lord. I ask, God, that you would help them to spend that intimate time with you and that fellowship with you where they could dwell in your presence, Lord. I thank you for it, God. I thank you, God, that you would just pour your oil. Pour the oil of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of them. Pour your anointing on them, Father God. If anybody's not baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would give them that. Father, that you would baptize them with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that they would not run out of oil. They would not run out of oil, Lord God. That they would have an abundant supply of oil. So Father, today, as we begin a new season, Lord, as we begin a new season, I declare right now in the name of Jesus that this is a new season for Living Waters Chapel. And even people that don't go to Living Waters Chapel, people all over, Lord, that this would become a new season, Lord, that those who can tomorrow, that they would take the day to reflect on your holiness, Lord, on your holiness, Lord. And Lord God, purge anything in us that is not of you, Lord. Show us what needs to go. Show us what needs to go to take us deeper, deeper in you, Lord. And we praise you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you, God, that you love us and your heart is towards us, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are going to use each and every one of us for your purpose and your plans in this season, Lord. As you prepare us, you purify us. Lord, I thank you for divine appointments. I thank you for provision. I thank you for favor over these women. I thank you, God, that we are all going to the next level with you, Lord Jesus. And as we do, you will fulfill every desire of our heart, God. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for these women today. I thank you, God, that you have a plan and purpose for each and every one of them. And Lord, there's not a lot of time left. So Father God, I just ask that you would begin to give them visions and dreams and have them write those visions down so they come to pass, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, God, that you are going to choose us to be your bride. I thank you, God, that you will prepare us as we abide in you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Absolutely.
Anybody, if you have anything, this is open.
When we started worship, I was praying for a freshness over our worship, and I saw a loaf of bread, and it was hot, and it was steaming. And I knew that smell of that loaf of bread was our worship, and it was going up to God. But I also recognize that bread is the Word, and God is going to give us a freshness. He's going to give us a fresh awareness of His Word, fresh revelation, and actually, the loaf of bread was the color of your scarf there.
Wow! So it's pure bread. It's like manna. Whew, pure bread. Does anybody else have anything that would encourage us? This is open. I'm not a one-man show, okay? Like anybody that has anything, you know?
One, I bought the book this week, Preparing to Meet Jesus, Ruth Ann Lotz.
Wow.
And her granddaughter.
Wow.
And so I thought, okay, here we go. And then two, the words on beautiful Jane and Carol gave. A month ago, I was standing in the gas station pumping my gas, and a man came up to me and he says, I don't mean to bother you, but he says, you are one beautiful woman. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, where's the cameras? Because it was just like, and I thought, okay, Lord, that's you. That was you, because I don't know who that man was. His name was Scott. He said, what's your name, Kim? I just wanted you to know that.
Wow.
And I thought that was an angel from God. I've never seen the man before. I've never seen him again.
It could have
very well been. But I thought the words have just lined up this morning for what God's been telling me. So
you're right.
Awesome. Awesome. Praise God.
And then I don't want to. You know I hate the mic. I really do.
I talked to Carol about this probably a month ago. So she is my witness, wherever she's at right there. I was worshiping. When I go in to see the Lord way up there, I'm at his feet. And he's just there, and it's awesome. I have my hands on his feet. He has his hands on my head. And I was just in there, just no agenda, just Jesus and me and Father God. And I saw the glory cloud come in. And then all of a sudden, I literally audibly heard ting, 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 ting. And I was like, so up there in the holies, I heard God. And I looked, and I saw a ring. And he gave me a ring. And as it fell out of the glory cloud and it tinged, I audibly heard it. I had three stones in the shape of a triangle on each side. It was like a bridal set. It wasn't the engagement part of the ring, but it was the wedding part of the set. And I saw as it was falling, I saw the colors of all the rainbows, just, you know, because diamonds have all the colors, the facets in the diamonds. And I saw that, and I was like, wow, God. And then I heard him say, now you have to go to Jesus to get the engagement. He didn't say ring at the end. He said engagement. And so I took that as, God, when I'm in you and you put a ring on it, you give me my engagement. You give me my purpose. And that just blew my mind. And I really feel that the Lord's giving each and every one of us a ring. If we just get before him, he'll give it to us. He'll give us our purpose. He'll give us everything in him. And so that was just, I audibly heard it. Audibly heard it. Audibly, guys. I was like, so Carol's like, you better start looking for that ring. And I was like, there ain't.
Okay.
Praise God.
We're not on Facebook. We haven't been on for a while, just to let you know. So if anybody is holding back for that reason, we cut that off before you walk down the altar. Or walk down the aisle. Not walk down the altar. Anybody going once, going twice? Could you pass the...
No.
Carol, you need the mic.
It's so interesting. Your preaching today pulled it all together, because this morning I woke up and I was hearing Gloria Gaynor's song, I Will Survive. And it talks about, I thought, why Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive? About not being able, you know, being fearful, not being able to live with you beside me. And then the chorus, I will survive, I will survive. And I'm thinking, just think of the people out there that don't have him and are just trying to survive without him. Anyway, I thought, wow. And then she's preaching and uses that one sermon. That one word. That's,
I will abide to survive. I changed it.
It's just a good way to remember it, you know. We have to abide to survive, just to survive life, right? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody want to pray again? Anybody have anything? We don't have to. Yeah.
No, you need this.
Everybody needs this. Everybody needs to get over this. Everybody needs to hold the mic and say something today, okay?
When you were talking about, like you said, about the Jewish wedding and everything, a couple of months
Okay. Before the wrath.
It brings together the preparation of the Jewish ceremony and how it ties in.
Yep.
The weddings, the marriage.
Stacy, right behind, under that, under my glasses case.
And it just, I saved it because I really want to watch it.
What is it called again?
Before the wrath.
Here, I'll take that. Before the wrath. Okay.
It's a documentary on really how they prepare for the groom, and it's comparing it exactly to the way that we need to be.
Oh, wow.
For the coming of our Savior.
Wow. Maybe we should watch it as the church one night. That would be a good one to watch. I printed this out. It's the Jewish wedding customs and then Jesus and his bride. So I'll put it back in the back. So if anybody has anything else, I don't want to cut this off, but we have cake and punch like a wedding. So that's the snack for today. Yes.
So just to affirm, about 1 month ago, I was reading, and I was reading in about the 10 virgins. And I was reading about the five that had, you know, their oil, and the five that were running low. And I said, Lord, I do not want to be one of the five that do not have enough oil. Can you please give me more oil?
Wow.
So thank you.
Wow.
Praise God. Yeah. This, to me, this was a message of urgency. Like, there's no more time. There's no more time to play around. There's no more time to not spend time in his presence. There's no more time not to read the word. It's time. It's time. That's why I don't like to film or even do anything with the well, because I always want it to be an intimate time of worship and the word with the Lord. But to me, it was such an urgent message that I felt like I wanted it to go out into the world. So it's for the whole body of Christ. And then, you know, like I said, only a portion of the body of Christ is gonna actually do the work to abide and be that bride. But, whew, it's a good day.